Blog Talk Radio.
In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus our Christ. Good God day to all of you. This is the day that our Lord has made, and we will rejoice on purpose and be glad in it, no matter what we may face, because our Lord is good, and his mercy is new every morning, and it is from everlasting to everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Good God day to all of you. This is Minister Renee Ellis, also known as the Little One, and I would like to welcome everyone to today's broadcast on Blog Talk Radio, live from HNLC Studios. I give all worship and all adoration, all praise and all glory and honor to the head of my life and my everything, my Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. I give recognition and respect to my pastors, Chief Apostle Dr. Prince A. Miles and Pastor Lady Monica R. Miles of the International Gospel Deliverance Center Church, located in Southfield, Michigan. And I also give respect to my covering, my sponsors, and the founders of Harvest New Life Church International, Apostle Charles E. Ellis and Pastor Patty Ellis of Plano, Texas. I thank God for them allowing me to be a part of the HNLC Studios broadcasting team, all for the glory and honor of God. You can listen to my podcast called Food for Thought any time of the day on Apple Podcasts, Spreaker, Spotify, Breaker, Radio.com, iHeartRadio, and many other podcast platforms where we study the Word of God together. All you have to do is type in the Little One, Food for Thought, and the podcast should come up. We're going to give everybody an opportunity to get their study tools as we get together every Tuesday and Thursday at this time. Go ahead and get your study tools. We'll come back with a word of prayer and get right into our study. Amen. All right. I trust everyone has had an opportunity to get their Bibles and notebooks and pens and paper and all of the things that we use to study the Word of God with as we come together in unity as the body of Christ on Tuesdays and Thursdays at 11 a.m. Central Standard Time and 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Truly, 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 I say this all the time, but it is such a joy and it is such a privilege and an honor to share the word with my brothers and sisters of the body of Christ, even those who have not yet made Jesus Lord of their lives yet, but will in the near future, possibly even today. We are praying for you, and we thank you for tuning in. Thank you for your support of the ministry, the broadcast. We bless the listening audience, and we thank you so much for tuning in to with us today. Let us go before the throne of grace with a word of prayer, and we'll get right into our study. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, we take this time to focus on you. We take this time that you have given unto us in this brand new birth of a day where we have opened our eyes as you have touched us to wake up and be on this side of life. Lord, we appreciate you, and we appreciate the love that you show us daily, for your love is perfect. It is beautiful. There is nothing to be compared to it. Lord, we honor you, and we glorify you, and we magnify you, and we exalt and we extol you. We lift your name high in the earth, Lord Jesus. For you said if you would be lifted up, you and you alone would draw all men unto yourself. Lord, we thank you for life and health and strength. We thank you for the activity and mobility of our limbs. We are grateful on this day for everything that you have done for us, from the little things to the great big things. And we just want to say we love you. And we just want to love you for who you are. Not necessarily for what you can do for us, but we love you for who you are. Master, Lord, Savior, King of all kings, Lord of all lords, the Lamb, the Holy Lamb of God, which was slain before the foundations of the world, so that we all, mankind, could enjoy intimate communion with you personally. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for blessing us and keeping us and protecting us and just doing everything that you do for us on a daily basis. We take this time to say thank you, and we are appreciative, O God. Lord, we ask that you hide us all behind the cross on this day, so that it is all of you and none of us that is being seen and heard and demonstrated in the earth toward our fellow man. Holy Spirit, we welcome your presence, for you are the teacher, and you bring us into all truth, and you bring all things to our remembrance, whatsoever Jesus has taught us. I ask, Holy Spirit, that you put your words on my tongue and on my lips, that which you will have me to deliver unto your people on this day. We bless the listening audience, Father. Move by your Spirit upon them. We thank you for your presence, your peace, your wholeness, your essence, everything that you are resting upon them right now, exuding from the inside of them right now, around them, surrounding them, as you go before them and you come behind them and you surround them with your presence. Lord, we thank you for this broadcast, for this is your broadcast, O God. Have your way in this study session on this day. This we ask in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good God Day to everyone. Today is Thursday, and this is part 4 of our series that we have been discussing called The Difference Between Carnal Kingdom Mentality. The difference between carnal mentality and kingdom mentality. And in last session, we were talking about living peaceably and walking in peace with all men, if it is at all possible, according to the word. And we also touched again on the definition of humility. And we were discussing mostly peace. And we were in Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1. And that reads, and I will be reading from the Amplified Classic Edition. It says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Now, our main scripture text that we have been discussing has been from Mark chapter 10, verses 35 through 45, with our main passage of scripture being verses 43 through 45, and these are Jesus's words. And it reads, and I will be reading from the Amplified Classic Edition. All of us can follow along in our translations if we have them. If not, use your pen and paper to jot down the scriptures so that we can study them later on our personal time. But verses 43 through 45 of Mark chapter 10 says, Jesus says, but this is not to be so among you. Instead, whoever desires to be great among you must be your servant, and whoever wishes to be most important and first in rank among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to have service rendered to him, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for or in the stead of many. Now, if we look at Mark chapter 10, verses 35, let's look at verses 35 through 37. And I'm going somewhere with this today. It reads in the Amplified Classic Edition, it says, and James and John, the sons of Zebedee, approached him and said to him, Teacher, we desire you to do for us whatever we ask of you. And he replied to them, what do you desire me to do for you? And they said to him, grant that we may sit one at your right hand and one at your left hand in your glory, majesty, and splendor. Now, as I was studying this passage of scripture, this particular account is also written and found in the book of Matthew. Matthew has an account of this occurrence in Matthew chapter 20, verses 20 through 28. And we're going to look at verses 20 and 21. And it says in Matthew chapter 20, verses 20 and 21, it says, then the mother of Zebedee's children came up to him with her sons, kneeling, worshiped him, and asked a favor of him. And he asked her, what do you wish? And she answered him, give orders that these two sons of mine may sit, one at your right hand and one at your left in your kingdom. Now, we want to talk today about the difference between carnal mentality and kingdom mentality as far as the realm of influence is concerned. Influence. Because as we were studying in Mark chapter 10, you know, looking at what James and John requested, you have to ask, where did they get that from? Where did they get that request from that made the other apostles so indignant? And it came from their mother. Their mother had influence on them. Now, it is so important that we as the body of Christ pay attention to our circle of influence. First of all, what does it mean to influence? What is influence? Influence is the capacity. It is the capacity to have an effect on the character, development, or behavior of someone or something. It is a person or thing with the capacity or power to have an effect on someone or something. To be able to sway in a certain direction. the behavior of an individual. Now, as the body of Christ, as we read and study the scripture, we should be able to identify who is influencing, whether it be the Spirit of God or whether it be the enemy, the devil. Because carnal mentality, as we have been discussing, is the human nature, the flesh nature, without God. And kingdom mentality is operating by the leading and guiding of the Holy Spirit, focusing our eyes on things which are above instead of things which are below. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33 says, "Do not be so deceived and misled. Evil communication and evil associations corrupt and deprave good manners and good morals and good character." So I have a food for thought question for all of us today. What or who are we allowing to filter through us, to filter through our eyes, to filter through our ears, to filter through our mouth, to filter through our mind, to filter through our psyche? What are we allowing to filter through us? As the body of Christ, it is so important that we depend on the Holy Spirit, who indwells in us at the moment of salvation and who makes his presence known by the evidence of speaking in tongues, but also by the fruit of the Spirit, which we have been studying about, found in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. The Holy Spirit mounts guard over our lips, over our eyes, over our ears, over our mind, over our heart. But we have to allow him to do that, because things that do not speak life are carnal. That is carnal mentality. And the carnal mentality is in opposition with the kingdom mentality. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33 says, "Do not be so deceived and misled. Evil companionships, evil communion, evil associations corrupt, deprave good manners and good morals and good character." Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 says, "Iron sharpens iron." So a man sharpens the countenance of his friend to show rage or worthy purpose. Who or what is in our circle of influence? The first and foremost source, the only source, that is the source that we should be consulting at all times before we take in the influence and opinions of others is our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. We should always run to the Word of God first, not last. Depending on those who are around you, this is why it's so important for all of us to make sure that the people that God puts in our path are strengthening us and giving us life, because we are to build up one another. We are to encourage one another. We are to speak life to one another. Amen. Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16 reads, it says, "You," talking about the body of Christ, "are the salt of the earth. We influence. We influence. But if the salt has lost its taste, its strength, its quality, how can its saltiness be restored? It is not good for anything any longer but to be thrown out and trodden underfoot by men." Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do men light a lamp and put it under a peck measure, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your moral excellence and your praiseworthy, noble, and good deeds, and recognize and honor and praise and glorify your Father, our Father, who is in heaven." We are living epistles. Sometimes people cannot read. They may not be able to read a Bible, but they can read a person. And sometimes that reading of a person could be a little off, depending on how their heart is and how they see person. But it behooves us as the body of Christ to make sure that the deeds and our moral excellence and our praiseworthy, noble, good deeds are recognizable as we walk in the love of Christ toward everyone, especially to those in the household of faith, as Scripture says. But not just that, but to all people, so that those who have never known Christ, Christ in us, and want to know him. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 9 says, "Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a righteous man, one upright and in right standing with God, and he will increase in learning." That is so beautiful. Give instruction to a wise man. Do we have wise men and women around us who can give us instruction? Those who are seasoned, who have been here a while, those who can guide and lead and teach and impart life into us so that we can have a more enhanced walk with God personally. Who is around us? Who do we have around us? And what are we allowing to filter through us? Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 through 27 reads, it says, and let us consider and give attentive, continuous care to watching over one another, studying how we may stir up, stimulate, and incite each other to love and helpful deeds and noble activities, not forsaking or neglecting to assemble together as believers, as is the habit of some people, but admonishing, warning, urging, and encouraging one another, and all the more faithfully as you see the day approaching. For if we go on deliberately and willingly sinning, after once acquiring the knowledge of the truth, there is no longer any sacrifice left to atone for our sins, no further offering to which to look forward. There is nothing left for us then but a kind of awful and fearful prospect and expectation of divine judgment and the fury of burning wrath and indignation which will consume those who put themselves in opposition to God. Verse 24, let us consider and give attentive, continuous care to watching over one another. Isn't that what a family does? The body of Christ, the family of God. Isn't that what a family does? To give attentive and continuous care to watching over one another, studying how we may stir up, stimulate, and incite not just each other, but everyone we come in contact with to love and helpful deeds and do helpful deeds and noble activities. Not forsaking or neglecting to assemble together as believers, as is the habit of some people, but admonishing. You know, when you love someone, you tell them the truth. No matter if it will hurt, but you tell them the truth because you love them, because you care about them. You care about their end result. Not forsaking or neglecting to assemble together as believers, as is the habit of some people, but admonishing, warning, urging, and encouraging, speaking life to one another, and all the more faithfully as you see the day approaching. What day is that? The coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Judgment Day. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, do not be conformed to this world or this age, fashioned after and adapted to its external, superficial customs, but be transformed, be changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideals and its new attitude. And that is a daily walk constant walk of faith. Because we have to arrest thoughts and bring them, cast them down and bring them into the obedience and captivity of Christ. Thoughts that we are not supposed to think. Because those thoughts, if you let them and you don't cast them down, they can take root. And then they will begin to grow. And then they will begin to produce fruit. And then you will find yourself speaking that which you did not cast down. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat the fruit thereof. It says, do not be conformed to this world, this age, fashioned after and adapted to its external, superficial customs, but be transformed, changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideals and its new attitude, so that you may prove for yourselves what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, working out our own soul salvation with fear and trembling individually. Even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in his sight for you. See, when we work on ourselves behind closed doors, in private, with God, and we stir up the gift that is within us, and we become fervent and on fire with the zeal and fire of God in us, then when we come together collectively, the evidence of the time that we have spent cultivating our relationship, our intimate communion with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, will exude from us. It will be seen. It will be able to be read. And it will incite others to say, there's something about you. What is it? Why are you so joyful? Why are you so happy? James chapter 3, verses 13 through 18 says, who is there among you who is wise and intelligent? Then let him by his noble living show forth his good works with the unobtrusive humility which is the proper attitude and attribute of true wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy, envy and contention, rivalry, selfish ambition in your hearts, do not pride yourselves on it and thus be in defiance of and false to the truth. This superficial wisdom is not such as comes down from above, but it's earthly, it's unspiritual or animal, it's even devilish or demonical. For wherever there is jealousy, envy, and contention, rivalry, and selfish ambition, there will also be confusion, unrest, disharmony, rebellion, and all sorts of evil and vile practices. In the last session, we were talking about how God is not a God of confusion. He is a God of peace and order. Verse 17 in James chapter 3 reads, but the wisdom from above is first of all pure, undefiled. Then it is peace-loving, courteous, considerate, gentle. It is willing to yield to reason, full of compassion and good fruits. What fruits? The fruits of the Spirit? Food for thought question. It is wholehearted and straightforward, impartial and unfeigned, free from doubts, wavering, and insincerity. and the harvest of righteousness, verse 18, of conformity to God's will in thought and deed is the fruit of the seed sown in peace by those who work for and make peace in themselves and in others. That peace, which means concord, agreement, and harmony between individuals with undisturbedness in a peaceful mind, free from fears and agitating passions and moral conflicts. Let us conclude our study session today with Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. It says in the Amplified Classic Edition, "And let the peace, soul harmony, which comes from Christ, rule and act as umpire continually in your hearts, deciding and settling with finality all questions that arise in your minds." This is kingdom mentality. In that peaceful state to which, as members of Christ, one body, you were also called to live. And be thankful, appreciative, giving praise to God always. The love of Christ, if we really sat back and meditated, and I mean really meditated on the love of Christ, we would discover that his love is so vast and it is so unfathomable and it is so perfect and it is so beautiful and it is so peace-loving. And it is so wonderful. Jesus came to give his life. As Mark chapter 10, verse 45 says, he said, "The Son of Man did not come to have service rendered to him." Listen to God talking. God said, "I didn't come for you to serve me, but I came to serve you and give my life as payment to save you and make you free." For those of you who do not know Jesus, who want to make him Lord of your life, who want to know more about him, who wants to experience the leading and guiding and comfort and help and teaching of him through the precious Holy Spirit, pray this prayer with me. Say, "Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I repent from my sin. I repent from doing things that go against your teaching and everything that you stand for. I believe within my heart, with all my heart, that you are the Son of God. And I believe that you came to this planet to give your life for me so that I could go to heaven and not be lost and learn of you and be an example for you and reach people for you as your disciple, as your child with my life. And I know that after you gave your life up on Calvary. On the third day, you rose again from the dead. And you are alive right now and forevermore. Lord Jesus, I thank you for coming into my heart and living in me, showing me who you are, so that I can experience for myself and see with my own eyes your salvation. I thank you, Lord, that I am saved. I declare it by faith in Jesus' name, by your grace, O God. Thank you for saving me, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. For those of you who said that prayer for the very first time, welcome. Welcome to the family of God. There is a celebration happening in the spirit that is just unfathomable in heaven, because you made the choice to make Jesus Lord of your life today. And I thank all of you for tuning in today, those of you who rededicated your lives, those prodigal sons and daughters, those who said, you know what, I used to be in the house of the Lord, I'm coming back home. Welcome home. We missed you. We are so happy that you are here. And we praise God for the family of God. Amen. Until we meet again, may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift his countenance and turn his face toward you. And may the Lord give you his peace, himself. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Until we meet again, this is Minister Renee Ellis, also known as the Little One, saying God bless you. Enjoy this God-given day today. Amen. We will meet again. Good God day to you.